Good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship. Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we begin today, let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for your grace and mercy that makes it possible for us to come before you at this time. We, Lord, come as we are into your presence. And we ask that you will move in our lives and help us, Lord, to worship you truly today in spirit and in truth. And we ask, Lord, that as we hear the word, as we pray, as we sing, in all that we do, that you will be glorified and that we will be renewed and refocused to live for you. And we ask this in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. All right, let's stand together and sing. You'll find the words on the screen. You might have to unmute the computer. Go ahead and just pause the video for now. On the computer itself, up at the very top, there could be a little speaker that might be muted, or on the keyboard. Well, it's all right. Let's go ahead and transition to our time of prayer at this time. We apologize, the audio is not working today. So, Joy, if you'll come to lead us. We want to pray for those who are traveling. We want to pray for our world. For our tithes and offerings, please remember to give at the plate at the back if you're here in person. If you're watching online, you can give on Facebook. Somebody just did a donation through Facebook very recently. And you can also give at fairmeadowchurch.org and click Give Today. Many of you give that way. We appreciate however you give to support our ministry. Also, we want to be praying for those who need the Lord's touch. Continue to pray for Martha Truman. And then continue to pray for our nation. Obviously, gas prices keep going up. Inflation is a real thing. We pray for that to turn around soon. We pray for those who are in Ukraine and then everyone who's affected by it around the world. So as we come before the Lord in prayer, you can have a seat. But let's just cry out to God for him to work deeply in all these circumstances as Joy leads us in prayer.
Our dear God and Father, we are so thankful that we have this day to worship you, to praise you, to pray all the things that mean so much to us on a Sunday. We give thanks for your son, Jesus. He lived his life, he taught, he loved, he was the example. He went to the cross and died a cruel death. He was buried and resurrected. And because of that resurrection, we have the Holy Spirit, and we have such a wonderful world to look forward to. Dear God, we just praise you for all things. And we know as we look at the cross now, it's empty because he's not there. He's among us. He's living with us. Dear God, I pray for each one of the prayer requests that Pastor mentioned. We pray for those that are dealing with physical issues. I pray for those that have lost loved ones and struggling with grief. And Father, I pray for those that are less than fluent with their monetary means. I pray for those, the individuals, that they will recognize that you are the great provider. You're with us in all things. I pray, Father, for our church. I pray for the offering. I pray for the people in the Ukraine. Such a sad situation. But Father, we know that you are all-powerful and almighty, and we put them in your hands as we remain faithful in prayer for each and every individual involved in this dispute. Father, we pray for our country. We pray for peace. We pray for the parents and the individuals that are grieving in Texas for the school shooting. We pray for individuals who are grieving throughout our country because of shootings. Father, we sometimes have to remind ourselves that everything is in your control. We don't have to worry. Our job is to remain faithful to you, to pray, to love you, to spread the love of Jesus to others. There are many that we come in contact with who do not know Jesus, who don't have a relationship with him. That's why we're still here. We are your ambassadors, Lord, and we know that you have given each one of us a job to do, and that's to lead others to you. We love you so very much. We pray for our pastor as he brings us the message on this day. I pray that our hearts and our minds will be open and receptive to his word. And I pray, Father, that we will open our hearts to all that is good, to all that you would have us to leave here with. Father, we love you. We ask your divine blessing on this service. And it's in your Son's holy and precious name I pray. And before I sit down, I want to wish Larry a happy 88th birthday. So if you'd all like to give him a hand. We love you and we appreciate you.
Amen. I think we figured it out, so we're going to try to sing Let's Stand Together again and give it another shot.
Nothing more.
you'll remain standing for the reading of God's word, we'll be in Acts chapter 2 as we hear about the arrival of the Holy Spirit in his ministry as we know it today. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Open your heart to the word of the Lord. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from the heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of God. You can be seated. Well, if you're with us last week, you know that Jesus told them that this would happen. Amen? So let's review, as Luke does in chapter 1 of the book of Acts. Here's what he wrote. "In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning." There he's speaking of his gospel of Luke. "Until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Remember, it said that Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures." Remember when he said that last week? Well, here we catch a glimpse of the connections that Jesus was making for them between the events that they were experiencing in their time and the larger story of God across the ages. The law, the Psalms, the prophets, they were all written long before the time of Jesus and the apostles. But these predicted the events that were unfolding during their time. So that's part of why we can trust the Bible. The things that it predicted were the things that came to pass. So this was important for the apostles to hear. It grounded them in history, grounded them in God's story. But writing all those experiences of discovery down, that helps us even today. So we realize the discoveries they were making and how their lives were connected to what was predicted, and that helps us to see where we fit in. Now we see the connections between the prequel and the main event. And we are living out the sequel to the New Testament. And it's still a great movie even today. Another way to think of this is the simple phrase, this is that. Let's say that together. This is that. I read a book in school that was actually just titled, This is That. It's as simple as you can make it. It's everywhere that a biblical writer is pointing to something previously written being fulfilled in another time, where they're making connections from one part of the Bible to another. Now, if you're able to use an audio Bible like I talked about last week, I encourage you to listen to the Bible daily. And I challenge you, because you'll need the help of an audio Bible to do this, but I challenge you to do the 90-day Bible reading plan. In 90 days, listen to it and read it all the way from cover to cover. Because that's about 12 written pages of the Bible in a typical size Bible every day, 20 to 30 minutes of listening. But if you listen to the whole Bible that fast, you'll begin to recognize connections. Because it won't be that long ago that you heard that phrase or a description of something like that in another part of the Bible. And then when you hear it again, you'll be like, aha. Now, I don't think you should stop. You should right then try to figure it all out. But stop the audio. Jot down the verse that it's talking about if you can, or have someone help you do that. And then look that up later or have someone look it up for you and help you figure out those connections. These are the ways to keep a dynamic, ongoing relationship with God's Word that helps you keep growing in your understanding. So it can actually be fun to start to go deeper in God's Word as you are making those connections yourself. You're having those discoveries. If you know the Bible well, the big pieces become so much more clear. So in this section is where Luke makes a connection in our reading. Verse 16. He says, this is in the mouth of Peter, "No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel." So people were offering their idea, oh, these people are drunk or out of their minds. But Peter demonstrates that he was listening when Jesus taught them, because he knows immediately how to apply what's happening to them to the unfolding promises of God's word. Joel had looked ahead to see a day when the Spirit would come and set things right in men's hearts. And Peter realized that's the moment they were living right now. So let's go to those verses in Joel. So it's going to sound really familiar to what we just read in Acts, but it was actually from the prophet Joel hundreds of years before. Here's what it says. "Then afterward I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female slaves in those days, I will pour out my Spirit. I will show portents in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. Then everyone who calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said, and among the survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls. So everything was happening to the apostles, and everything that's happening in our time are part of the continuing drama of God overcoming the human tragedy with powerful love. Now, when Joel was writing, it was a long time before, we don't know actually his exact time period of writing. But we know that it was a time when locusts came and just ate everything up, and the people were feeling consumed and overwhelmed. But God made promises to them that he would restore them, and that it would basically be an example of how God was going to restore all of us one day through the Spirit of God being poured out on all humanity. So the promises in Joel's time extended and looked ahead to a day when God's restoration would be even greater. And that's what's going on in the book of Acts. They are experiencing that thing that Joel saw was going to happen in the future. So are you with me here on the timelines? So you have Joel's day and the promise that came. You have the book of Acts, where that promise is being unfolded before them. And now we are looking back and reading about those events. So, literally and figuratively, it says that God is pouring out his Holy Spirit on all flesh. Remember in John's revelation what it says? Jesus says, "Behold, I am making what? All things new." Let's say it together. All things new. That is a beautiful picture of God's restoration. He knows this world is broken. He knows it's fallen. He knows people are hurting. People are grieving. He knows that at times and in places violence reigns. And yet his kingdom is coming. It is already in effect and inaugurated, but it's coming in its fullness. And one of the great signs of that was the coming of the Holy Spirit. So as the Holy Spirit fell on the apostles and all who gathered with them, the age of the Spirit was upon us. God makes his dwelling in us and among us, and we have helped to understand and discern what we're to do. We have help remembering what we need to remember from Jesus. How many of you need help remembering sometimes? The Holy Spirit will help us to remember. We have help rising above our own personal struggles and sins. We can be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen? When we will have help communicating who Jesus is to a world that just doesn't understand on their own. Those who didn't believe in Jesus tried to dismiss the apostles and others, saying they were drunk or out of their minds. Although there was a lot of noise with a rushing mighty wind and many voices speaking in many languages, people were hearing about the great deeds of God in their own language if they listened carefully. Right? Now, we can always go through life pretending we can't hear, pretending we just don't know, saying that everything's just too confusing, or we can really try to discern and tune in how God may be speaking to us, even in what seems like chaotic times. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. That's what Jesus said. So the Spirit was helping them to overcome communication barriers. It was a miracle. People that hadn't studied those languages were now able to speak. And it was making a life-changing difference for those who could hear. It was across many generations, right? We know that. Grandparents, if you've got grandkids, there are times they'll walk up to you and say an entire sentence that makes no sense to you at all. Am I right? That's because vocabularies are changing, right? And kids have experiences that we're not necessarily connected to, right? Well, it doesn't just have to be grandparents with grandkids. It can be between any generation, a difficulty of communicating. let alone when we have different native languages. That makes it difficult. If you're on a tech support call, the poor person who has to answer the phone on the other side of the world, English isn't their primary language, but they're going to do their best. And you know what? They're probably doing way better than you would do trying to talk their language, right? But it creates difficulties to understand. But the Holy Spirit came and moved in these lives, and they were able to bridge across all of those barriers. People from different cultures, people who spoke different languages, people of different ages and generations, all of them could hear and understand. And that is a miracle, ladies and gentlemen. It also hints back to the days of the Tower of Babel. Do you remember those days? That's another story you should look up. If you don't know it, jot it down, look it up later. But basically, everyone was speaking one language, and they started plotting to do bad and evil things. So God confused their languages so they wouldn't be able to get up to no good, and they would get on with living and spreading out. But here on this day, Babel is overcome because they're able to communicate across language barriers. So this is essentially the birthday of the church. The church has always had help in sharing the good news. Help from the helper, the comforter, the counselor, the Holy Spirit. Now today, many people still just don't understand. Do you hear what I'm saying? They may say that we're out of our heads, or drunk, or stupid, or foolish. But don't let that take the wind out of your sails. I need to tell you about something that happened yesterday. I looked at our video doorbell in the middle of the afternoon, and an older gentleman pulled into our parking lot, got out of his car, walked over with some sort of device in his hand, and went like this on the door handles. So I went and looked at the video from another camera, and again he walked down and he was looking all around to make sure he wasn't being seen, not realizing he was inches away from cameras that were totally seeing him. But there you got a better look at the door handle, and he put some off-colored substance all over the door handle on the other door as well. So Bob came and looked at it, and I don't even want to say what it seemed to be, but a very foul substance indeed. So I contacted the community liaison officer, Officer Greist, who used to actually attend our church. And he always gets back to me, and he encouraged me to call it in. So we called the police, and they came, and this gentleman had visited at least one other church just before ours as well, and maybe others, we don't know. Thankfully, the Lord revealed it, and we saw it, and we were able to get it cleaned up and reported. We uploaded the videos, and now the police have what they need to do their next steps. But I prayed for that gentleman. I don't know what happened to him. I don't know where it happened. I didn't recognize him, and no one else that saw the video recognized him. But he's obviously a person who is confused or broken or overwhelmed by dark thoughts, and he's lashing out. I pray that he is found so he doesn't inflict any harm on anyone. I hope every place that he visited knew that he did and was able to get it taken care of. But I pray that his heart and mind could be changed by someone caring enough to present the good news to him as well. When we see those who seem to be against us, we need to realize that brokenness and sin is everywhere, and people are caught up in things they never imagined that they would do. And it's only the power of the Holy Spirit that can deliver them from this grip that they are held in. Amen? So there is darkness in the world, and we need to resist it. We need to be willing to stand up to it, But also we know that by God's mercy and grace, it can be overcome and lives can be changed still today. Amen? So that's what we pray will happen. This morning, you know what God has done for you. You know he's the source of light and life and love and holiness in your life. So let your light shine. Some might turn away or even lash out, but turn the other cheek and keep on shining for him. Keep on loving and forgiving. Jesus said, "You will have trouble in this life, but take heart. I have overcome the world." So the Holy Spirit came, and when he came, it was during the celebration of Pentecost, and this was the Feast of Weeks in the Old Testament, if you want to study that, a time of celebrating the harvest and giving thanks for what God provided. Now, we remember that day for very different reasons. We remember it because the Holy Spirit fell and because the gospel started to go around the world as those who were dwelling in Jerusalem for this season then went back to their homes. They took news of Jesus and of the Holy Spirit's arrival with them to their various cultures. Flaming tongues of fire fell on fully surrendered lives, and many things changed for the better that day. Mainly, many lives changed for the better. Individuals, families, widows, orphans, grieving parents, excited teenagers, boys and girls, sons and daughters, it says, manservants and maidservants, young men seeing visions, having a vision of life that gives them something to look forward to and live toward, not getting bogged down in the worries and concerns, not being hopeless about the future. Old men dreaming dreams, not thinking that their life is over, but seeing still good things to come through the grace of God. Men and women prophesying as predicted. How beautiful, how wonderful. This is the restoring work of God in our lives. So this legacy falls to us, and we celebrate it best with open hearts and surrendered lives. Love your neighbor. Love your enemy. Forgive. Serve. Give. And do it all to God's glory, because you can, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful that you have loved us with a love that's strong enough to overcome all the darkness, all the hate. You are the one who comes, Lord, into our lives at the moment that we least expect it. And through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you soften our hearts. You open us to your deeper work, and you begin to show us the way of love. Lord, reveal to everyone who needs it who Jesus is today. And Father, everyone here who needs a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit, who just needs to believe again in all that is possible, even in a season like we are living through. Father, just come in your fullness again and work deeply in their lives, renewing them and filling them through and through, that their life fully surrendered to you could be full of dreams and visions and hopeful living. And Father, I pray we would be the ones with the better story, maybe sometimes even with the better jokes, because we just believe in good things, believe in happiness, even in a sad time. But Father, also let us be the ones who can comfort. Let us be the ones that can sit with those who grieve and encourage them in you. But Father, help us above all, just like you asked us to do, to love you with all that we are, to love our neighbor as ourselves, to forgive and to love even our enemies. With your eyes closed still this morning, If God is working in your life and you're seeing Jesus for who he is, and maybe for the first time or the first time in a long time, you're ready to reach out to understand that Jesus is the one who can forgive you of your sins. Jesus is the one who receives you into God's family. Jesus is the one that can become the true leader of your life. If that's you this morning, just raise your hand, whether you're watching at home or here in person. Thank you. Father, bless these who are reaching to you and make Jesus real to them like never before. I pray it in Jesus' powerful name. And Father, we continue in prayer for those who just need the Holy Spirit to fall in a fresh way. Would you just come now, Lord, as people seek you with all of their hearts. May they open their mind and let go of doubt, Lord. May they open their hearts and let go of trying to be in control every moment. And just trust, Lord, that this life we're living, if we're living in the way you asked us to, we can take a breath, we can breathe in your presence, and we can breathe out your love to our world. Help us not to worry. Lord, help us not to be bound up in fear, but instead help us to just let your love spill out everywhere we go. But fill us, Lord. Only you can fill us. Only you can change us and renew us. Only you can sanctify us through and through. And I pray for everyone who's seeking you today that they will find you in your fullness and be filled with all the fullness of God. If that's you this morning and you want to give God the glory, would you raise your hand? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, bless and fill each life. And we thank you that you are also calling us to your table to feast with you on the grace and goodness of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Those of you who are watching online, we want to let you go at this time. Thank you. Have a wonderful week. Those of you that are here, let's prepare to come to the Lord's table. There should be a table near you that has the elements. Please grab some for yourself now as we prepare. The word tells us that on the night before Jesus was lifted up, he gathered together with his disciples and they dined together. And it says that he took the bread and the cup. So it says that he took the bread and when he had given thanks, he broke it, saying, "This is my body given for you. Take this and eat it as often as you do in remembrance of me." Then after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he said, "This is my blood of the covenant for you and for many for the remission of sins. Drink it as often as you do in remembrance of me." Let's pray before we consume. Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would descend in a fresh way on these gifts and on your people. Father, prepare our hearts that these elements would become a means of grace for us, simple bread and the fruit of the vine, and yet, Lord, powerful symbols of your body and blood. Make them for us a point of communion with you and with each other. Thank you for these moments around your table. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you peel off the bottom, the bread will come out in your hand, and let's partake of it together at this time. And carefully peel off the top. And there's the cup. Let's drink together. Father, thank you once again. Thank you that Jesus went to the cross. and his body and blood secure our forgiveness and our newness of life. Through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, let us feed on these symbols of your grace. Let us be nourished in you and empowered by the Holy Spirit to live lives of holy love in our fallen world. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. You'll find the Apostles' Creed on the screen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Go in the power of the Holy Spirit, live in the holy love of God, and share it with all who need it. In Jesus' name, amen. In Sunday school, we're going to talk about this more, so join us over here at the tables as we dig deeper into God's word together.